What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
This got covered on the podcast yesterday, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. So Lyman and I, we were annoyed by the Myles Garrett speeding ticket. And the reason we were annoyed is that you have to comment on it and either comment gets killed. If I sit here and freak out, because guys, honestly, like, it's a speeding ticket. A lot of people get speeding tickets. I wish he wasn't going 100 miles an hour. I said the difference is with Miles is that he's approaching 30 years old. He's got two big contracts. He has generational money now that I don't know what his future plans are, if he wants to have kids or whatever. But, I mean, you could change the life of people in your family for multiple generations. Like, that's long after you're dead money that he's made. It's like, hey, man, you might want to be a little bit more careful. When you have more in life, you tend to take more precautions. Lima, I'm willing to bet, did a lot greasier things 4 years ago than before he got, after he got married and had two children. Owen and I have shared a lot of escapades of 21-year-old Ken and Owen in the Pacific Rim when he was in the Air Force. Things change. And I would hope that it would change. But other than that, do I need to give some moral conversation again? Do I need to have some moral shouting of Myles Garrett? I don't think I do. But if I say that, there are plenty of people, you should be making a big deal about this. He could have killed somebody. I know. And we do find that serious. But it didn't happen. I wish he would take it slowly. But that's all I can say to him. He's a taxpayer. And it wasn't, it's a speeding ticket, but it's not take him off billboards. It's not take him off the website. It's not don't have him talk to the media. It's not that. But Andy Baskin, not a very happy camper with Myles Garrett. This happened yesterday. We reacted to this a little bit on the podcast yesterday, 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app, live every Tuesday, Thursday at 10:15. I don't know if Baskin's going to do this every Tuesday, Thursday at 10:15, because here went Baskin yesterday.
Being captain means more than being a great football player on the field. Why would we be mad at Shedeur Sanders for driving over 100 miles an hour when the captain drives over 100 miles an hour? And these guys know that. They know what's going on. Like, I love Miles as a football player. He's a great football player. I think he's great for the community. But you've got to lead by example. Like, why do I have to say that on the radio right now to a guy who's a captain? Money doesn't make you a captain. The way you act on and off the field makes you a captain. Miles, to me, is the best player on the team. He is. I'm not going to argue that. And I love watching him play. But is he someone that should be a captain? No, he shouldn't. This is multiple times, over 100 miles an hour. And it's his responsibility to lead on the field and off the field.
I'm hesitant to talk about Baskin. Last time I talked about Baskin, I was admonished.
By who?
By Baskin.
Oh, by Baskin. Okay. Oh, now Phelps. Phelps didn't have his back.
Oh, Baskin put me in my place. I was back at the University of Akron all over again.
Bud, you should probably know what you're talking about.
It was a little intimidating.
Yeah, I'll
probably
agree.
Not a good move.
I'll agree with one thing that Baskin said. And that has nothing to do with Lawrence. I have one thing that I agree.
Stop. Come on.
When it comes to Baskin that he had in that rant of his.
What is up, Scotty? What's up, my man?
It wasn't about when Keith called in about free hot dogs this morning.
Hey, this is Lawrence. Got Lawrence here.
So there's one thing I agreed with him, without a doubt. And it's that money doesn't truly make you a captain. Like, yeah, you could call people captains. Same thing as, hey, they can call the quarterback a captain every year, but that's not fooling anybody when that guy isn't a leader. Right. So, you know, Miles is the captain. He's going to be the captain. He's defensive player of the year. He could win it every year from here on out, it seems like, the way he's playing. But that alone does not make you a leader. And I do wonder, not about the traffic incident, I do wonder how the guys look up to Miles, whether or not they truly do feel that way about him, because we're not in that locker
room. You know how they look up to Miles? They go, he got a massive contract, I want that. Mm-hmm. That's what they look up to Miles with. They look up to Miles with business. They look up to Miles with all the other things that he's involved in. They look up to Miles going, man, he's got a stake in the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's still a percentage of the Cleveland Cavaliers where he gets to walk out there in a basketball jersey, and he's known as a part owner, part limited partner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's how they look up to him. I said this to you yesterday. I said this to you when we went through the Miles contract stuff, and I'll say this to you in the future. I don't find him to be a leader. I don't expect him to be a leader. We've been going through this for 8 years. He's not that guy. He's not going to be Ray Lewis and get everybody in the locker room and start screaming and yelling and breaking furniture and getting everybody excited. He's just not that dude. And if you still expect that, then you're lying to yourself or you're fooling yourself. How can I, after 8 years, now all of a sudden he's going to be that guy? I hope that he sees that there's going to be an end here at some point and that there's a legacy left behind. And as of right now, yes, you do have one playoff win. But in terms of winning, you haven't had a whole lot, and you will be a Hall of Famer. And maybe that's all what it is. Okay, all I expect him to do is stay out of serious trouble, which, again, he has had an auto accident before. So that is always going to be brought up, a serious one at that. But I expect him to be good in the community, which he is. That's about as far as it goes. As far as the off-field stuff, I expect him to give me 14 to 16 sacks a season, because that's what he's paid for. He's not paid to do rah-rah.
I agree with you on that money does not make you a leader, but if you're handing out the contracts, right, if you are Andrew Berry, don't you – isn't that part of the discussion?
Oh, Jimmy Haslam said it.
I need you.
Owen, Jimmy Haslam said it.
Aren't you paying for this? To not be putting these marks in the negative column against you.
But is it truly a mark in the negative column to the general public? Will there be people who say,
oh, yes, because it gives people a reason, like Andy Baskin, to get pissed off at you as a player and as an organization? And that's a guy who loves the Browns. There's going to be so many people out there, people in Pittsburgh, Andrew Filippone, had we given him more of a time on that,
then maybe
would have absolutely blasted Miles for it.
Then maybe I'm just too cynical about his role with the organization. Because I hope that he was going to be like, Reggie White was a minister, for crying out loud, so it's a bad example. But I was hoping that he was going to be a guy who took this franchise, being drafted number one overall in 2017, and take it to a different level. He's a great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but there's nothing emotional there. And I gave up on that years ago. He's not a bad guy. Like, I don't walk around quietly saying like, Miles Garrett's a jerk. No, he's not. He's not a bad guy. He's nice. But other than that, I don't expect that. There's plenty of nice guys who are not leaders. He's not a leader.
Does it matter to this team? Like, we've always talked about certain teams and whether there's a leadership drain or whether a team has a guy that everybody truly does follow. You know, like when Jameis was here last year, it was weird when the season started and everybody gravitated towards Jameis. It was a little weird. Like, he's the backup quarterback. Well,
he's a natural leader.
But he does, without a doubt, anybody who's ever played with him, especially as he's matured over the course of his career, they've all said, that guy's not faking it. He is a leader. He legitimately is a leader.
And he's had off-field issues himself, but he's been able to get locker rooms to react to him in a positive manner.
Yeah, but does it, in the end, does it matter who the leaders are, or just that the team has leaders? They've just got to have them. And that's not necessarily the reason. Like, but they weren't 3-14 because of leadership issues, were they last year?
We've looked in the wrong place for leadership for years. And if you want to blame Myles Garrett for that, for not being that guy, you fine. Go right on ahead, because he's not that guy. And if you think that he should have been that way 8 years ago, then fine. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Because we've done this for how many years now? Again, was it three years Anthony Walker was here? Why was Anthony Walker speaking for the defense on one-year contracts? Rodney McLeod speaking for the defense on one-year contracts.
Boy,
Jameis Winston.
So true.
The backup quarterback is giving pregame speeches. Do you understand how weird it is? Think about when you were in high school and you played high school football. Say you played at Bay High School. What did you think when one of the backups tried to speak up when you were in high school? Give your rah-rah speech and then go stand on the sidelines?
Or as Ken did, as he was being taken off the field to put that thumb up.
And I'm going
to
tell you right now,
Tomahawk
chop. And maybe I tried to do it, and I'm going to tell you right now, at 39 years old, it was completely ineffectual. It was a waste of my time and everybody else's, and I'm sure if I did it, the coaches looked at me like I was a fool. Because that's what it's been for a long time. But I don't expect him to be that way. This team is only going to get leadership, it seems, real true leadership from one position, and that's going to be the quarterback. They've made it abundantly clear. 216-474-0092. I was going to call you Anthony Dolan. I guess I can't do that now.
You could always do it. Come on.
Can I call you Anthony Dolan at 9?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to get to you guys coming up next on The Fan in 5 minutes. Do you want to ask whether or not he should have his captaincy removed? Is that what Baskin is saying here? I want to ask you a question right off the top. I'm not going into a live thing. I'm asking you right now. Do you want to ask them that?
Sure.
All right, fine. The captaincy, as Baskin was asking.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Talking about Myles Garrett driving 100 miles an hour, getting busted after the game in Strongsville. According to records, he was given a $250 fine and does not have to appear in court on Thursday morning if he pays it. I guess he could contest it if he wanted it to, but I don't. I mean,
hard to contest that one.
Well, I mean, you could say the radar gun's off. There's ways to contest it. This isn't the first time he's been speeding, WKYC reported at least 7 instances of Garrett speeding in Northeast Ohio in 2022. So, Jeff, just your thoughts on the story.
I don't want to sound preachy here. We all drive on the highways. We all know how disconcerting it is when someone goes flying by you. Like if you're on a highway and you're going close to the speed limit, and the speed limit most places is now 70, right? When you get your doors blown off and you're going 70, 75 miles an hour, you know that person's doing 90 plus, maybe 100. It's disconcerting, you know? You can't. I see it every other morning coming to work. You know, there are people driving just like crazy. To be preachy, I hope Miles slows down before he hurts himself or hurts someone else. It's that simple. Just because you have a fast car and just because you're a pro athlete and you can feel invincible on the football field doesn't mean you're invincible on the highways. And as stupid as it just sounds, they just need to slow down. I mean, they're going to hurt somebody. Same thing with Shador. Don't do that. You're going to hurt somebody and then you're going to be, you know what? Then you're in big trouble.
Every one of these guys that plays on any professional sports team knows that they are going to get called out if they do something above the law. It's 100% guaranteed. They tell every rookie, this is what's going to happen. Okay? So if you think it's not a story, These guys know it's a story. It's not like they don't know better. And you could say driving 100 miles an hour, not a big deal. I still can't believe some of the stuff I read on social last night. Just like, who cares? Not a big deal. Hey, you know what? To you, it's not a big deal. If he lands in someone else's car or flips his own car like he's done before, it's a big deal. It's aggravating to me, people who try to justify it's okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not okay.
It's not. I mean, even in Montana, when I lived out there, we basically had no speed limit.
Wide open.
I mean, if you got anywhere near where there might be people, they were on you like a hawk. You couldn't, and people would, you know, they'd drive 100, whatever, in the kind of the desert-like parts of eastern Montana as you were going back towards Wyoming. And once you got even close to a little city, it was back to 60 or 55 miles an hour, and they were waiting for you because they knew they were going to bust you for going too fast. So Miles is coming back from the game.
A Ferrari.
I don't care if he was driving minivan, you know?
Mark sent me an email and he said, yeah. Miles is much safer at 100 plus in his Ferrari than Shadur was in his truck. Maybe. Trucks are pretty good too. The problem is this. You're on a public highway. Mm-hmm. If somebody's going like 65, which they're allowed to do in a 70 mile an hour speed limit, and let's just say that person for some reason swerves a little bit, you know, moves out of the lane when you're flying up. I mean, we all know what happens. Now, these guys, I'm sure it's in their contracts that they can't drive race cars, or they'd probably go rent out mid-Ohio. I'm sure. Seriously.
But you know what? I'm okay with that.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that too, but I'll bet you it's in their contract that they can't race cars. So what do? They're racing cars on the highway.
Here's the part that's going to aggravate you, and you can be like, Paskin, you should shut up. And if you think that, that's fine. If you're going to be a captain, okay, being captain means more than being a great football player on the field. Why would we be mad at Shadur Sanders for driving over 100 miles an hour when the captain drives over 100 miles an hour? And these guys know that. They know what's going on. Like, I love Miles as a football player. He's a great football player. I think he's great for the community. I love when he does the Halloween stuff. But you've got to lead by example. Like, why do I have to say that on the radio right now to a guy who's a captain? Money doesn't make you a captain. The way you act on and off the field makes you a captain. Miles, to me, is the best player on the team. He is. I'm not going to argue that. And I love watching him play. But is he someone that should be a captain? No, he shouldn't. This is multiple times, over 100 miles an hour, and it's his responsibility to lead on the field and off the field. And so if a rookie's driving over 100 miles, well, our best player on the team does it. I just hope he comes out the next time he has media availability, apologizes like he did before, and just says, I can't be a leader if I can't lead by example. I shouldn't be a captain. It's ridiculous. And I know I'm aggravating a million people out there by saying that. Well, it doesn't matter what he's a captain, by the way. No, captain has nothing to do. It has a little bit to do with how you play on the field. Can you live up to the expectations? But it's so much more than that. It's got to be the players that are looked up to by the rest of the team, the guys that follow the rules, the guys that are out there by example. It's a $250 fine. The story's going to be over again tomorrow. But it's hard to let that not think about that. I can't tell you how many people have said that to me. This is your captain?
You mentioned that there were reports that he's had like 7 violations and all.
That's what Channel 3 said in 22.
How does he still have a license? Seriously, I
don't know.
Do we not have points accumulating anymore? I don't know. Been a long time since I've had a speeding ticket. And mine were always for doing 41 and a 25. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But, I mean, do you understand the captain part of this? Like, do you understand? Like, how can you expect someone to be a leader if they're not going to set the example?
I do get it, Andy. I think your idea is, I think your thought on that is actually correct. But I think it's also quaint. You know what I mean? You're right. But that's not the way it works anymore. It's not the way it works anymore.
I don't know.
I'd love to hear from you. 216-474-0092.
So you look at this, and by the way, I don't want to sit here and talk about how fast a player is driving. I don't. Like, I really don't. I don't want, but we do well, this Andy, all the time.
I hate to say this. It's only a matter of time before somebody gets hurt. You know, if you need proof of what could happen, take a look in Las Vegas. Right? Henry Ruggs is doing time. Killed somebody.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't on a highway, but he was driving recklessly.
And again, I know people drive excessive. Like, I get it. I understand that. But it's just, you got to know that people are watching you. They're watching all the time.
It's not funny and it's not cute. I mean, truly, get it taken out of your contract and go rent out Mid-Ohio. That'd be great. Go ahead. Mm. Go rent out Mid-Ohio. Just do it.
I don't know. Dan, your thoughts on this? I mean, across, you know, your thoughts.
I think you guys have said it well. It's exactly how I feel on the whole ordeal. It's like, I know the thrill of going 100 miles an hour on a highway. If you want to do it, do it on a race course.
I don't know the thrill of that. Do you actually know the thrill of that?
I've been in the passenger seat when someone has done it.
Oh, good Lord.
So.
And what are you supposed to do, by the way? What do you, like, we tell our kids this all the time. Like, if you're, like, and by everyone can see how fast everyone's going now with Life 360 and stuff like that. You know, and you what do you tell someone who's in a car like that?
I mean, I'll never do it again. I'll never be behind the wheel and do such things. Like, it will never be my call on it.
Like, how do you get out of that situation?
I don't know that you do.
You kind of buckle in and trust the person next to you.
You try and hope to never get in that situation in the first place.
By
showing good judgment and knowing who you're riding with.
We had a conversation 2 days ago. Like, I've got a relative who lives in some open space out west, who is on our Life 360, who constantly is hitting that 100-mile-an-hour thing. And I'm like, I don't want my kids in the car with them. I don't.
No.
I don't. It's ridiculous. Mike is in Stowe. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Boy, you guys get to meet fast. I love that, man. So cool. I don't have to sit around and wait. Get right to my point.
We're good, but
I'm a little older, long in the tooth, like you two gentlemen are. And
gee, thanks, Mike. It's really sweet of you.
Well, you know, we're doing fine. But I did a little bit of that stuff in my younger times, and generally, it was, if you did it, you bought it by yourself. Nobody around you should be enforced in that kind of situation. You know, like, hey, I'm looking to do this, or you're not interested. I'm not going to make you do it with me. You know, that's, you got to be an adult like that. But I'll get back to the whole miles thing. You know, from a football point of it. It really bothers me that, and look, he can be whatever he wants. He wants to drive like he drives. That's fine. He's going to get caught. He's going to, you know, one of these days maybe end up without a license. He keeps it up. But, you know, the thing about it is this. I hate that he's never really shown me that to be that really ultimate leader. And look, he doesn't have to be. But he's been here so long. We know what he is about. He's never really stood up and been that big voice for the team. The loudest voice he's ever had is when he said he wanted out of town. And I kind of wish that, I hate to say this. I know I'm not a real popular guy for it, but I wish we'd have moved on from him at that time. And the reason is this. I think we're in a team in transition. I think by the time we're going to be viable again, he's going to be at the end of his run or close to it, making a ton of money and still doing the same things he's doing now, you know, doing his own thing, which is fine. He's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants. But I'd rather have a guy in his position that wants to be more of a vocal leader of the team, show it on and off the field. You know, at this point in his career, I'd like to see that taken over. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to. So I think we missed a chance by moving on and maybe rebuilding this team with a better leader. Hopefully some of these kids coming up now, we'll get one out of this group because we really need one because our coach doesn't have a loud voice. That's what I got, guys.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate you for voicing your opinion. Thank you. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, Miles Garrett cited for driving over 100 miles an hour in a 60-mile-an-hour zone. Your thoughts on that? Plus, we're also going to get back into some of the things that are actually going on the field and the quarterback situation. So we'll get to all that stuff here in a moment. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
it started with Andy Slater, then Jordan Schultz had, now Mary Kay Cabot having it as well. Browns rookie running back Quinshon Judkins will not face any formal charges from the alleged incident in South Florida. Prosecutors have declined to move forward with the case. And I know that this then opens up a whole nother bit of conversation. This is unlikely to stop the NFL from pursuing potential suspension for Quinshon Judkins, although Mary Kay Cabot reporting the NFL and Browns also conducting their own investigation. So suspension still is on the table. And in terms of guilty, not guilty, just because prosecutors have declined to move forward with the case, that can mean a myriad of things, such as the initial accuser deciding they didn't want to move forward with charges or not willing to participate in supplying evidence on the matter, and everything on from then of they found basically no reason that this actually did happen.
Yeah, so that's the important part to note there, though, is that we've seen so many NFL cases where there is no criminal charges that are pressed and the NFL still comes out and suspends the player. Big Ben, Zeke, Kareem Hunt is another one. Even the Jordan Addison thing last year involving involving cars. It wasn't even involving anything that is in the framework of Judkins. But the point remains, like, if the NFL decides that you did something that is detrimental to the league, they still then have the right to suspend you, and they will.
So with all that, I think the timing with the Quinshon stuff is, when does the NFL wrap up their investigation? If we remember, Mike Hall stuff happened in the middle of August. Everything was wrapped up by, I want to say, oh my gosh, was that the second week of October? And then he missed the middle part of the season?
Yeah, around there.
So I don't know if the conclusion of this being a little earlier than the Mike Hall stuff, if that means we could expect maybe an early season suspension as opposed to the middle part of the suspension. What I will say is, if you're the Browns, I would imagine that's probably actually the better thing, because right now I would be really surprised if Quinshon could get ready to be ready for week one right now going into his rookie year, given how much of camp he's already missed.
Oh, it's interesting about the timing of it, too, because you saw Rashee Rice earlier today. Rashee Rice is, he's got four games, right? But it's not in the first four games of the season, it's not in play yet.
Yeah. And so he's going to be able to play the first 4 weeks, and then he's got the I think it's week four meeting, September.
And his NFL hearing is on, yeah, you're right, September 30th there. And a lot of Chiefs fans today were celebrating that idea, because it's like, I think they play the Giants week three, but outside of that, it's just a gauntlet for three out of the first four games of the season. And they're like, whoa, dodged a bullet there. We're going to have Rashee Rice in play. And we can talk about whether or not that's an okay thing or not, but that's how NFL fans, that's how we look at these type of things. And so with Judkins, the timing of when he'd be back and when the NFL hearing takes place all comes into play. But now that the criminal side of this is just kind of pushed aside and taken care of, it makes it a lot easier for the NFL to then take care of their side.
Well, and again, like, it also allows the Browns potentially to sign Quinshon. He's the only remaining second rounder not signed from this last draft class. So there, that can quickly gain some momentum here. I will tell you, like, I went from Quinshon not being on my radar of guys I'm concerned about to Quinshon now does need to earn my trust.
Sure.
And, you know, you never know how teams are. I mean, you know, we kind of talked about how Stefanski the other day is like, yeah, we dealt with Miles with this, with the speeding thing. And it's like, okay, you know, like, yeah, I'm sure you've dealt with the Mike Hall Jr. stuff and you've dealt with the Perrion Winfrey stuff. And it's like, when teams say they've dealt with it, it means nothing to me. But, like, I don't want to say this is your get out of jail free card with Quinshon, but, like, I was so excited. I like Travion Henderson more, and you can remember back to.
I remember
to,
that.
That is not a revisionist take, because the great kickoff return that Travion had.
No, I remember that.
But, like, this is a situation, this kid should be able to succeed, and this is a great system for running backs. You've got a veteran offensive line in front of you, and you've got an offense that's going to be predicated on running and running a lot and built off that. This is a great spot for his career, but as a dude, as a man, I now need to see, like, all right, this better never happen again, because I really, like, I this really, really put me in a situation where it's tough for me to root for this kid until we see something out of him that is counter to what the allegations are and what everything kind of came to fruition.
Yeah, and listen, I don't want to guess on what the NFL will do, but if you made me guess what the NFL will do, I'd make the suggestion he probably still ends up getting a 5 or 6 game suspension anyway. Like, I think a lot of fans are reading this as if it's almost like he's in the clear and everything's fine now and we can just get right back down to business, and it couldn't be further from Quinshon's case.
For a lot of reasons. I do not sleep on the fact that Quinshon missed most of camp. Like, the most important part to actually have a big part of camp being healthy and productive, it's why Dylan's injury matters so much in the quarterback kerfuffle. Same thing with Shador.
Yeah, you got to be available.
Rookie year is the most important year because the jump you're making from pros to the NFL is gigantic. All right? It's a huge gulf that you're trying to bridge. Even if running backs is an easier transition than quarterbacks or wide receivers or, you know, any position where you have to process a lot of information pre or post snap.
And he starts to get a contract signed.
Yeah, well, but like the second that happens, I expect him to, I know, I'm sure he's been working out this whole time, but I don't know. My expectations are, I initially thought there's a perfect spot for this kid. He's going to be gifted a starting job or something close to it. He's going to be able to walk into the NFL, and my initial expectations were he's going to rush for 1,000 yards in his rookie season. Between the amount of camp he's missed and the idea that I would still be shocked if he didn't get suspended,
right?
And if he didn't get suspended for, I think, 6 games, because that seems to be the standard in the NFL, and that's written into the CBA that they can suspend you as much as 6 games, depending on the circumstances. I want to hit the ground running by the middle of the season and take over starting running back somewhere after that if Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson don't. That's where I am now with Quinshon.
No, we see it the same way. It's interesting the amount of people that it feels like online are just not seeing it the exact way that it clearly stated out, that the NFL can do whatever they want in this scenario if they feel like Quinshon was detrimental to the league. And in this case, he definitely was.
Yeah, and it's so... They have changed the conduct policy for the better, actually, has removed the litigation out of a lot of this stuff. It's written in there. It's coded. It is what it is. And then it's on the NFL to make their decision. And the players have agreed to that because I think the players understood how when it was the wild, wild west, there could be a disproportionate punishment depending on different things, like the indefinite suspension of Ray Rice, which kind of brought the everything mm-hmm. into fruition over a decade ago. But that has turned a lot of these conversations into very robotic, right? Like, not human conversations.
Yeah.
Like, there are humans involved in this scenario. And by the way, it has not made the dialogue on social media any more interesting or better to be around.
It's what's tough, too, is that, like, in this context, in this discussion, we were in the Rashee Rice incident, for instance, we were trying to talk about, or Chiefs fans were talking about when's the best time for him to come back.
Yeah.
And it just, in this moment, it does feel a little dirty, for being honest.
Well, and by the way,
it is part of our job to try to do these things.
So, I think you and I started, and we had a very, very kind of clinical discussion, because I think that is the best way to have this. But to the human element, to say that I'm disappointed in Quinshon, I think we can stress that enough. And I'm disappointed in the Browns for having this continue to be part of the conversation with them. I understand that my flaw as a human being means that if they win 11 games, the outrage on this is going to be different than if they won 3 games last year. Right now, you won 3 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been an element of this. I think there is a social contract with an organization that if you're going to bring in people who are accused of heinous things, arrested for heinous things, charged with heinous things, if you're going to do that, the least you can do is actually win. But I continue to dial it back to if you're not likable and you don't win, you don't give me a lot to kind of fall back on. And yeah. So this year to me was about let's go back to liking the Browns after the Deshaun fiasco and to a lesser extent the Perrion Winfrey stuff and I mean some of the Miles stuff and some of this that. And here we are. This is going to play out to the regular season. And for at least this season, every time Quinshon, and maybe not every time, but when Quinshon touches the ball, it's going to be pretty logical for a lot of Browns fans to think about what this offseason really entailed for him.
Andy Slater had some more details I think are interesting. He says the decision was based on several factors, including late reporting of the alleged incidents with police, no surveillance video, and no independent witnesses. The state attorney says there was video seen during the same time frame that didn't show the victim with injuries as well.
So we've got the latest on Quinshon Judkins. He's not being charges are not going forward in Florida. But again, with the there doesn't have to be charges for right. the NFL to suspend a player. And in credit, since the NFL's put this into the CBA, I'm pretty sure every chance they've had to suspend a player, because this really is, and this is where you can get really cynical if you want to. It's really not about what happened between Quinshon and his accuser. What it really is this is a tax for Quinshon Judkins because the NFL doesn't like the optics.
Yeah, I mean, how many did I name off the top of my head there just thinking about it, right? It
was, and by the way, Zeke, you were short about
Kareem
30.
Hunt. there's so many you can just go to where that happens, where there's no criminal charges that are played out. And it's just, hey, we feel like this was detrimental to the league. We have to do something about this.
216-474-0092. So Quinshon Judkins, this does clear the way. Here's where, again, path forward. I would be surprised if the Browns and Quinshon Judkins don't get a contract wrapped up in the very near future. I think it would make a lot of sense that he comes back and is part of practice in the very near future. But the wait and see part of this is how quickly can he get ready for the regular season, and how quickly can they help get him ready for the regular season, and then what does the NFL do in regards to punishment? We'll have more on this throughout the show as all the details kind of continue to come in. Again, Quinshon Judkins, charges not going forward in Florida of the domestic violence allegations on him, clearing the way for him to finally sign that Browns contract. Now we wait for the NFL, but Browns-Eagles joint practice earlier today, day two in Philly. Who won the practice? Elliot Shore Parks, Eagles reporter for WIP in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Two of the big talking points today have been that Quinshon Judkins will not face formal charges in Florida for alleged domestic violence. That would likely clear the way for him to sign a contract with the Cleveland Browns, although there is still the pending matter of the Cleveland Browns or the NFL's investigation into Quinshon, which is likely to result in a 6-game suspension. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that the Browns have just signed Isaiah Bond, who went from potentially a top 64 draft pick this year out of Texas to being undrafted because of sexual assault charges he was facing in Texas. Those the indictment was not rendered, meaning he is free and clear of charges, and the Browns signed him shortly thereafter. And so that's the latest. Yeah,
that's the summary. It is his prospect analysis really was. I mean, Jordan Reed, Mel Kiper, Matt Miller all had him in the first round, and they had him mocked out to different teams. Cowboys were one. The Seahawks were another. He runs a 4.4 sub 4.4 40 time.
I heard 4.39. You got to put that into the tweet there.
Like he's a really talented player, but it just kind of speaks to the idea even more so. The Browns just do not care about any of this off-season stuff or off-field allegations or anything at all. And if they had not made this clear to you before with the Deshaun Watson signing and every move that has happened since then, they just continue to tell you guys in many ways they really don't care about the character issues or anything that accompanies any of the players on their team.
It should be noted that this is not about Isaiah Bond, who I've never met a day in my life. It's not about Quinshon, who we've yet to be able to interview or anything like that. And it's more just about the overwhelming burden of proof of what you just said. And listen, I'm not naive enough to think that every team in the NFL has 53 quality, upstanding citizens, and by the way, fully matured individuals, given that a vast part of the league is a lot of 21, 22, 23-year-old guys with a butt ton of money and life happening very fast. But man, I got to tell you, I put up with a lot of losing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 24 months, more so than that, put up with a lot of civil battles that will end in the further enrichment of billionaires that own the team. And I've been fine with that because I understand the benefit to the fans. I'm fine to put up with speeding tickets. All right. But at some point You don't, while I don't need 53 missionaries, I don't need to lead the league in guys getting suspended for off-the-field allegations. And it's just like, you know, the Browns sometimes, they're like decisions they make that it's just like you make it so hard on yourself. With these mental gymnastics,
the timing of all this right now, Nick. I mean, we just it's the day where we're talking about Judkins and his story and everything attached to it, and it just gets overtaken by Isaiah Bond, and it's unfortunate because we don't know Isaiah Bond. We know what he was alleged of. We've heard that, but like they don't make it easy. They don't make it easy on any of us.
And by the way, this is the easy part. Winning is hard in sports. No matter the advantages you have, it's very hard. There's a lot of really smart people in this league. Quite frankly, I understand the necessary things that happen when you're negotiating a stadium. Those are things that have to happen and play out in public. You don't have to take a chance on these guys. And if I was 5 years into this thing, and you went 3-14 last year, and the crux of it was the players were done supporting a quarterback whose on-field play did not live up to the off-field issues. And they were worn out from drama and crap and being talked about as an organization as if they're all very problematic individuals. If I really had just hit the dumper, as it were, I might think about something like maybe culture, in our case, isn't just about wins and losses. Maybe there's some problematic things here, or maybe we don't have the right leadership to lead this certain group of young men that we've brought in with problematic allegations against them. But no, we're going to continue doing what we're doing. It is the process, in this case, the process over results, and it ain't working.
Well, there's two things here, right? I think part of it is the idea that this is something that does go beyond what the analytics will tell you. This is the human element, which it seems like they've missed. John Dorsey, I always thought, even though he would take on some problematic people himself, he understood the human element side of this things, and they just seem to miss that in the highest order consistently. They just don't seem to care about it, and it's just kind of how they operate. But the other side of this is that I think this is the Andrew Berry working for the Eagles and Howie Roseman part of it. But the part that they're missing is that the Eagles can do these things and get away with these things because they already have a different culture and they have a different setup than what the Browns are trying to build.
I just want to like my damn team. Really, truly. I'd love to just not go home. Hey, what's this with this latest guy?
Well, imagine the offense around like week 11 or so. It'll be Judkins carrying the ball while Isaiah Bond catches a touchdown pass.
There's a very real chance the Browns could lead the league in suspensions this year. You could have more suspensions for off the field issues this year. If you're going in facing two, then wins. That seems like the wrong course of action. Call me old fashioned. Call me a prude or call me logical. Sorry, I'm not yelling at you.
Oh, no, I got that.
But it's loud.
I got that. Yeah, it is loud.
I can see
you're getting very agitated. I knew when I read it. I knew when I read it. This is not one for you.
Just not that damn hard. It's not that hard to have a little bit of class. It's not that hard to honor this freaking city. Like, seriously, man. I got family here. I got generations of people that have supported this team, and you've brought shame on us. Every time. Where can I turn? The Eagles got a Super Bowl for their moral indiscretions. Where's ours? Oh, by the way, don't worry. We got it. Don't question them. Don't question the big corporation. They won't know more than you blue-collar peons. I mean, dude, you couldn't let 90 minutes pass from one big legal what the bleep was that to the next? Why do we do this? Why do any of us do this? More to come. I'm not reading this spot. You're going to have to move that, buddy. We'll do this. More to come in the 6 o'clock hour.
Well, good morning,
Kenny.
The tables, boy, they have turned tremendously here over the last 24 hours. I mean, I don't know. Well, you gave me a look. Where were you going to take that? Where are you going to take that right now?
On a normal day, when you battle, not only battle, but you win a joint practice versus one of the top joint practice teams in recent modern NFL history.
I said C in Santa Clara yesterday.
The Super Bowl champs, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Cleveland Browns go to, is it in Philadelphia? Is that where they do these things?
Born and raised.
Okay. And the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, takes them to the Palestra. He went to the Palestra? Yeah, supposedly it was going to be another reunion, all the Philadelphia stuff he likes to do.
I got a hot take he's not going to like.
Okay.
It'll get back to him, too. I'm not taking him by the Palestra. I don't care.
No?
Nope. Take that. Boom. Don't care.
What about the Rocky Steps?
Hinkle Fieldhouse. No, Rocky Steps are fine.
Okay.
Hinkle Fieldhouse, all right. If I go to Philly, which I've been to Philly, the Palestra was at like 99th on my thing. You're telling me all these college basketball teams that nobody outside of Philadelphia can really mention.
Give me one
for 2 second trivia. Give me one
Baltimore
for 2 second
University.
Trivia. You tell me. Yeah, do
Baltimore?
That. Do we have 2 second trivia on Wednesday, Mitch?
Yeah, next Wednesday. Got it.
Okay. Yes.
I'm good.
Yeah. Throw that question out there. For everybody listening, Lima's going to give us one of the teams that play their college basketball at the Palestra.
At one point,
Palestra. Listen, this ain't Lima and Fanta. It's Lima and Carmen. Mm. I don't care about the Palestra. Hinkle Fieldhouse.
You don't think Miles Garrett,
Paulie Pavilion,
who wanted to play professionally, whose brother played in the NBA?
It could be the Brook Park Rec Center.
You don't think he cares about the vaunted Palestra?
It could be the Avon. Does Avon Lake have a rec center?
Dave McMenamin is not going to be happy when this gets back to him.
The what?
The anchor.
It could be the anchor for all he cares. It doesn't matter. You think Miles Garrett really cares? Guy from Texas? I can't name who plays at the Palestra. He's going to get back to Andy Roth. He's going to try to get me let go.
I think
not even my boss
does
anymore.
Does actual Penn play there now?
Who knows?
Because I don't like Villanova doesn't play
Colonial
there.
Penn.
$6.99 a month.
LaSalle?
Term life insurance.
What about LaSalle? Yeah.
All these great teams that no longer play there.
Oh, Temple used to, didn't they?
They used to. Oh, we got to go to the Palestra. Why? No one plays there. It's just this building. It's an old historical building. Great. 1927. Okay. It's not even 100 years old.
I was ready to sound off.
Philly, there's a lot of great things in Philadelphia. I've been to Philadelphia. Eagles fans, if you're clicking in, it doesn't touch me. If you guys like that basketball, like the history of basketball, and there's John Rothstein wants to get mad at me over it, fine. I don't care. A bunch of teams used to play there. Congratulations. Oh, Penn Quakers men's wrestling. Wrestles there. That's what'll get me in the door.
That's a big five.
That'll get Owen and I in the door.
They just got a $20 million stipend. I don't think they'll be wrestling there much longer.
It was... You said the big five. Who are the five?
I don't know if Drexel was in there at any point, but I know Temple, St. Joseph's, all right, LaSalle, Villanova.
You go on with what you were going to say. So I'm going to try to read about the five here.
I was going to say it was an amazing homecoming. You know, the first day, there were a lot of wins for the Browns, even though they went down as an official L that first day with Elliott Shore.
Parks,
who was on the afternoon drive yesterday. And yesterday, though, a dramatic sea change in the hierarchy of the NFL football. Because the Browns went there and they kicked their ass, Kenny. They kicked the Philadelphia defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. They kicked their ass.
Yeah, they did.
Normally, that means it's Super Bowl Super Browns time. Here's Elliott Shore Park on the afternoon show with Nick and Jonathan Peterlin.
I thought the Eagles won yesterday. The Browns won today. But wherever you fall on yesterday's practice, today was much more of a clear victory than yesterday was for the Eagles. I thought the Browns absolutely, you know, destroyed the Eagles for the later part of practice. I had the Browns starting quarterback, which was Joe Flacco, I believe, for all their first team reps, going 9 of 13 with 4 touchdowns, including 3 touchdowns in the final team period. So, yeah, I mean, look, the Browns are not going to be very good this year, but they were certainly very impressive today.
And then they had beers after the game, after the practice. So you guess what? That's our Super Bowl, man. That's our Super Bowl. They should have put Joel Batonio should have shaken up the Miller Lite. and sprayed it all over Wyatt Teller up there in the middle of the Philadelphia Sun.
Can I order a Sports Illustrated Cleveland Browns joint practice telephone?
Yeah, of course.
Harold Fannin was walking off the field, and they put a camera in front of him and said, "Where are you taking your family? Where are you taking them?"
Hershey Park.
Right, yeah, right up the road.
Which, they, by the way, guys, they actually did drink beer. Landon Dickerson brought out beer.
They did.
They were drinking Miller Lights out there. That's now a real story.
I did tell Ken on the phone, old me.
Look at these guys.
Single Anthony Limo, who was ready to mix it up on social media. I did say old me might have said that the Browns don't get to drink until they win the Super Bowl.
That's stupid.
That
old you would have been stupid.
Celebrating is for champs. The Eagles are the champs. The Browns are 3-14.
New you says a lot of stupid stuff too, so I don't know which one to yell at.
That you need to dangle the carrot. Drinking is for the winners.
They won. They won the practice yesterday, well, so they get to drink the beers.
Don't the defending Super Bowl champs get to anoint anyone else?
Was this a passing
Maybe
of the,
it was.
Of the
a
torch?
Passing yep. of the can. Maybe it was. Maybe Landon Dickerson goes, "You guys are the chosen ones now. Off you go." And then the Browns said, "We are the chosen ones. Quinshon Judkins is now available to play after the NFL has their say about it. And it seems that Isaiah Bond is going to be available to play." And boy, what an afternoon that became. I saw my phone. I went, "You're kidding me. Quinshon, these charges are dropped? Well, okay then." And then Isaiah Bond, can I just give this little story here? So I go over. It just sounds like it's such easy product placement. But I go over to Classic Chevy, and I'm talking to the guys. They go, "Did you see we signed Isaiah Bond?" And I went, "What?" He goes, "You didn't know about this?" I go, "I was driving. I was on the phone. I was on the phone with you. And you weren't looking at your phone while you were on the phone with me." No. So Lime and I are talking, and like as I pull into the dealership, they had signed Isaiah Bond, or apparently they are looking into what is the situation.
Well, he wrote Isaiah eight Bond, paragraphs that he signed with the Browns.
Isaiah Bond wrote a whole thing about joining the Browns. So I don't think it's official. The Browns haven't put out anything, but Adam Schefter is saying that Isaiah Bond is joining the Browns. So apparently we're getting Isaiah Bond from Texas, who did have a sexual assault allegation against him.
You know how the Lakers, there's just always something about the Lakers, they get the superstar, right? Or the Green Bay Packers have had, you know, like 30 years of here's one quarterback to the next. We apparently are always going to have a player that is charged with either domestic assault or a sexual assault.
Yeah, it's,
and I'm not even trying to make light of it.
I know you're not.
Because it's just who the Browns are. The Browns are always going to take these swings. So, and I do think I have a theory on it. I have a theory on why it's the Browns. I think the Browns have said, you know, in the past, they've got the largest, the most robust analytics group known to mankind that helps in not just game day ops, but scouting. They have done all this. They've thrown more money at it than just about everybody in the NFL. I mean, the catalog of names they have in their analytics department. Yet, their drafting in the Andrew Berry regime is, of any GM that's been around 6 years, has to be the bottom, right? And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful about this draft class. There are guys I love in this draft. Harold Fannin, by the way, apparently has been awesome. So I'm excited
Carson
about Swessinger that.
Carson all over the field.
Yeah, Mason Graham, who was drawing double teams in the first preseason game. Whatever.
So what were your? Want me to give my initial thoughts?
Theory. Okay. I'm getting to my theory. Right. So I think the Browns are now, as analytically driven as they are, I think they throw their hands up in the air and they say, draft's kind of a crapshoot. And we've been missing, and we've been missing, and we've been missing. So at the very least, let's go after the guys that would have been better draft picks and let's call them valuable because that's where the market inefficiency is. Like guys that slipped, like Philadelphia has gotten players over the years in the draft and Baltimore has gotten players in the draft that they've been able to have them fall in their laps later that should have gone way higher because of either allegations, accusations, bad temperament, injuries, whatever. And I think the Browns are saying, hey, you know what? It works out for those guys. So this whole thing's a crapshoot. Let's just do this because we can't draft well on our own. So this is what we have to rely on. And let's hope they come through. Of course, we have a laundry list of players that with the Browns, it has not worked out. And it's made the Browns one of the most unlikable teams in recent NFL history. And so the Browns are probably already unlikable. We don't win games. So let's throw the darts. See, and that's what they're doing here. And I do think
the second sentence is the operative sentence, though.
And by the way, the dealings we have with our callers every day and people on social media, yeah, there's always a few who are like, oh, why would the Browns do this? But for the most part, I think we all can recognize that if the Browns won games, their fans would be quiet. If Deshaun Watson would have been a good quarterback, all the people that said they left the Browns, they would have come back. They would have bought playoff tickets. And I think the Browns know that. And so they have that on their side. So it doesn't matter when Mary Kay writes that Dee and Jimmy are just so upset. They lose sleep over allegations and all this. And they bring in Lisa Friel, the NFL special counsel for investigations, to talk about domestic violence cases. That's all the optics. And yeah, they talk to them like a symposium of all the young players to not commit these things. But in the end, the Browns every time are going to sign these players and hope that they're getting value out of it.
So let me say this. There's a lot of things that I have been disrespectful on when it comes to Nick Wilson's opinions.
Okay.
I'm not trying to make a joke there. It comes off like I am, but I'm not. I know what Nick said yesterday. I respect Nick's opinion.
Which was?
Nick had a serious problem with them signing or looking like they're going to sign Isaiah Bond. I respect Nick's opinion. However, when you said the second sentence, they're unlikable, they don't win. It's like, that's the one. Because I see teams in the NFL, and I'm not trying to push anything aside from the Browns. They're 3-14. The reason that they get hammered, though, is because they're 3-14. Because they have a history of being a 3-win football team. That's their history. I brought up to you yesterday, I go, I'd love to sit there and call the Browns the victim when it comes to the Shedeur Sanders speculation and all the crazy conspiracy theories out there. They're only a victim of their previous failure. That's all they're a victim of. So there's no victimization there when it comes to the Shedeur Sanders stuff. And this is an extension of it. Because there's other teams that, yeah, they sign guys who have very troublesome pasts. And then they go out and win 14 games. They're called the Kansas City Chiefs. And they have been known under the Andy Reid era, you win. And when you win, I don't think people are going and celebrating all the things that happen off the field or the previous transgressions alleged or confirmed off the field. But winning is the key. And they're a desperate team that's trying to win. They're desperate. When you're the first team that's in on Isaiah Bond, and we know what our wide receiver room looks like, you're desperate. When we were all down about, I can't believe this guy who seems, and this shows you, we don't know each other as well as we all think we do. I've interviewed Quinshon Judkins 3 times since he got drafted. The night he got drafted and 2 other times. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. Seemed like a nice guy. And now these charges are being dropped. I don't know what the NFL is going to have their say about all this. Just because of the courts, they're on. They're gone. Seems like the court of public opinion is going to have its say. But the name of the game is ultimately to win. And I can wring my hands and I can be upset, but it's trickled down into major college football. Tone, if we covered Penn, University of Penn, or we covered any one of the 5 teams that played at that Palestra, I could get myself twisted in knots if I really wanted to. But the name of it is to try to win.
Is there a number of players
and I think there
that
are
would
players
be too much for you, Ken Carmen, that would make you uncomfortable?
How?
An amount of players. Like Mike Hall, Perrion Winfrey, Devin Bush is on the team.
I understand that.
Obviously, now you know, Judkins. And look, we want all these guys.
Anthony, I don't think...
Is there a number that it would be too much?
No, I don't. There's no over-under on it. But I don't think anybody's...
You would never be uncomfortable.
No.
Because you've used the term uncomfortable before.
I don't think anybody's comfortable. I don't think anybody's comfortable. No, who's comfortable talking about what Isaiah Bond was accused of? Who's comfortable talking about the charges that were dropped against Quinshon Judkins? Nobody's comfortable. So there's no number, yes, no, 5, 8, doesn't... There's no number of it. Nobody's comfortable with it.
Do you think the Browns would just be better off signing another wide receiver that doesn't have, you know, allegations or...
In the court of public opinion, yeah, but...
So are you surprised they still do it? No. Because I am. I am. After, no. After they brought in that woman to talk to the Browns, and Dee and Jimmy turned to the cameras and said that, you know, enough is enough. We're going to do all our due diligence. Like, I just would think, just from sheer optics.
So you have a problem?
Even if, I got to say, I'm stunned that they went right back to the well on the same day that they got some good news out of Judkins. And we still don't know. We still don't know if he's going to be suspended or not. We've had players before, on based on the NFL investigation, that charges were dropped that have been suspended. So we'll await to see what happens here. But I'm just surprised, like, they couldn't even wait a week. They couldn't even wait 2 days. It was the same day.
Because they can't.
It almost seems like they are flaunting it in the face. Like, the women that are Browns fans, it almost seems like they are rubbing it in their faces. And believe me, I saw that reaction yesterday from a lot of Browns fans that are women on social media that have a following that are sick to their stomach that they can't stay away from guys.
I think they simply see it as, if we don't get to the wide receiver, other teams will. And we need a wide receiver. I think that's the way they see it. I'm surprised. Again, I respect your opinion.
I mean, I'm being dead ass. My wife said if our daughter grows up and ever hangs out with a Browns player, she was going to be fired up. Like, that's what women are saying locally. Like, that's not just a random woman. Like, I saw it on Instagram yesterday. There were women that were fired up about this. And they have no idea who Isaiah Bond is.
All right.
They probably have no idea who Judkins is. They do have an idea that the Browns, the first chance they get, will be the team that will sign these guys every single time.
So Isaiah Bond is probably going to be a Cleveland Brown. The team hasn't said anything yet. They'll probably say something after the weekend.
I'd say so. I am fully expecting that.
And then Quinshon Judkins, those charges have been dropped, so they got to sign him. As Daryl had said, they sign him, and then he will be subject to whatever NFL penalties and suspensions could possibly be. I'd imagine he would go on the commissioner's exempt list. So this is a word. There's a word that I'm thinking of that I wouldn't say to you if I wouldn't call it myself, because I think in this case, because I don't think it's said lightly. I think we can be very hypocritical about this, and myself included. You know, I did not like it when Deshaun Watson was signed, and I am a huge, 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 huge Browns fan. No doubt about it. And I think a lot of people are still huge, huge Browns fans. And we've had numerous callers, numerous people make comparisons to teams that win that have had problems with players in the past. And I think, hey, if you're just out on the Browns, okay. If you're out on the NFL, okay. But I say, what are we arguing for? It'd be nice to find morality and nice things in pro sports, but I don't think you should go looking for them. I don't think you're going to like what you find. And this is another case. There is charges that are dropped here. The government and our country believes in innocent until proven guilty, but that has nothing to do with the court of public opinion. And I believe that if the Browns were 14-3 instead of 3-14, there would not be much reaction to this. I mean, we look at Howie Roseman, and we put him on a pedestal, and he has taken guys that have fallen to him because they have had alleged, not even true, alleged transgressions in their past. But they won a Super Bowl. So if I'm going to say, I don't care about winning, I'm just done, God bless you. But if you're saying, well, these teams, they win, well, we lose, that's where it's at. Like, I respect it. I know we bust, I almost said something. I know we bust pills all the time. I mean, I could say time ain't here no more, but you get what I'm saying. We give each other hell all the time. The afternoon show on us. And there's a lot of disrespect that I throw around. I respect Nick's opinion when he's, and I respect his passion and his feelings when he had this to say yesterday afternoon, right after the Isaiah Bond news.
It's not that hard to have a little bit of class. It's not that hard to honor this freaking city. Like, seriously, man. I got family here. I got generations of people that have supported this team, and you've brought shame on us every time. Where can I turn? The Eagles got a Super Bowl for their moral indiscretions. Where's ours? Oh, by the way, don't worry. We got it. Don't question them. Don't question the big corporation. They won't know more than you blue-collar peons. I mean, dude, you couldn't let 90 minutes pass from one big legal what the bleep was that to the next? I'm like, why do we do this? Why do any of us do this?
So that's Nick. But when you mention like the Eagles and their Super Bowls, well, what are you saying? You're mad that they're losing and then they add this.
Yeah. Well, I think basically what Nick's saying is if you're going to lose, like, just don't keep bringing these storylines to the team that forces the fan base to have to argue about this stuff.
I understand
and the media
that.
To have to do it because they don't really have a track record of this working all that much. Wait, Kareem
exactly.
Hunt is the one that we talked about. But
exactly.
Other than that, I mean, most of them have ended up being kind of embarrassing for them. God, the Perrion Winfrey one was.
But in so many ways, this goes right back to what I was saying yesterday when it came to the Myles Garrett situation. And Myles Garrett's situation is nowhere near what we're talking about, the allegations that were against Quinshon Judkins and Isaiah Bond, clearly. But when you don't have leadership, that's where you're going to have problems. Again, we mentioned the Eagles. We have to mention Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, guys who were policing the locker room, guys who held guys accountable. Because you could hold guys accountable physically when you have a guy like Fletcher Cox in your locker room at that time. And so that kind of passes down a torch to other guys when they're done with the Philadelphia Eagles. We don't have that. So that's why we get bit by this stuff. That's why the Eagles really don't. That's why the Chiefs don't get bit by this stuff.
Well, and I always wonder to each of the teams, like how much they care at all. I'm sure in various instances there are some players that might care. But what in the end, what does that matter? The overwhelming majority of a locker room, they really just keep their focus where it needs to be, and they try not to worry about anybody else's business. I'm sure they've played with some guys, some teammates have had some guys that they're disgusted by because they know actually more than even the public knows about some of these dudes. But in the end, on Sunday, does that mean they're not going to have each other's backs? No, they're football players.
They're trying to get to a common goal, which is win. That's what they're trying to do. But, you know, we've done this in pro sports for a very long time. And I think it's very easy for me to be outraged. And there's been times where I've been upset before, but I've had to learn the lesson the hard way. Going and looking for morality in professional sports is not where to look for it. I mean, you look at some of the guys that we talk about all the time, guys who are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Lawrence Taylor has acted like a child his entire life. There's substance abuse issues in there, and there are statues of the man. And you look at some of the stuff he's been accused of and some of the stuff he's been found guilty of, for crying out loud. And you go to New York, you go to Jersey, you're going to see a lot of 56 around there.
Yeah, incredible in like music. I can't get R. Kelly music, but I can see the Lawrence Taylor highlights. It just kind of shows you how we feel about football in general.
And we pick and choose what we want to be bothered by when it comes to entertainment. And you mentioned it earlier today, and yeah, I'm willing to be called out as a hypocrite as long as everybody else is. Because you said, Kenny, how would you feel if the Steelers were doing all this? I don't think I'd be celebrating and rubbing it in. I don't want to do that because I think I've learned from previous situations. I think I've learned to do that, to not do that. But but in this case, let's call it what it is. We were making jokes last week that we could put names together and fool fans on what the wide receiver looks like because fans don't know any of these guys other than Jerry Jeudy. And now they know how desperate they are, so they added Isaiah Bond. You said maybe it's not worth the squeeze. Some people are out there telling you he could have been a fourth-round pick. I had people saying he could have been a second-round pick.
Yeah, does that matter to you, like, when the Ravens do it with a first-round guy,
and
right?
That's the thing. But if I said he was a first-round or fifth-rounder, it shouldn't matter to those who were that upset.
Like undrafted free agents, right? Would you want them to be signing guys if stuff was hanging over them?
You would think no. You would think it's not worth it. And that's how the NFL does operate in so many ways. This guy ain't worth it. I mean, this guy ain't even that great. But if they are great, there's a lot of hoops that NFL teams and really pro sports teams in general are really willing to jump through. So I don't use that word lightly, but I think we all have to be, if we're going to act outraged, but I'm still going to be a pro sports fan, okay. I have to be willing to be called out on it. Because I look around teams that are successful. And you know, I'm not throwing stones at you in there. I'm just using that your team as an example. I think Chiefs fans for a long time, they celebrated Mahomes. They celebrated Chris Jones. They celebrated Travis Kelce. They tolerated Tyreek Hill. and the things that he was accused of. They tolerated Andy Reid's son. They don't celebrate it, but it's part of their franchise. And some of those things are terrible. Absolutely terrible.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.